For the past 3 months, KNKX has been traveling all around the Salish Sea. That's the inland waterway that includes Puget Sound and extends all the way into British Columbia. In her series, Return to the Salish Sea, 88.5 environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe talked with people who are deeply connected to this unique waterway and are concerned about its future. The series has wrapped up. But before we let it go completely, Bellamy joined KNKX Morning Edition host Kirsten Kendrick to share some highlights and takeaways.
Bellamy, first remind us why the series is called Return to the Salish Sea.
Well, it's not the first time we did this. Back around 2010, when the name of the Salish Sea first became official, we hosted a similar series called Reflections on the Water. And this was such rich material that we wanted to return to it, especially because concern is mounting right now about how to protect and take care of this special inland sea that in so many ways really defines our culture. So for the first interview in the series, I sat down with Bert Weber. He's a Canadian-born professor emeritus at Western Washington University in Bellingham, and he's the guy who came up with the idea for this name in the 1980s when people were first starting to get very concerned about the possibility of oil spills in the sea. He fought for this concept for decades, and it's still relevant today.
This all started because of Alaska oil coming into Washington State from the Strait of Juan de Fuca. And now we are faced with essentially the same kinds of problems. The vessel traffic carrying fossil fuels has increased in number, especially in the last 5 years, and will even more in the next 4 or 5 years. And there is major concern about the impacts of a vessel going aground or being in a collision and having to deal with a major oil spill.
And Bellamy, that concern about oil spills is something that really continues to dominate among people all around the sea.
Right, especially because right now Canada's federal government has approved a major expansion of the Kinder Morgan pipeline, which has a terminal in Burnaby, north of Vancouver, BC. This could mean as many as 7 times more oil tankers traversing the Salish Sea. So there are multiple lawsuits going on right now, even as the company has started preliminary construction of the line. And one of the main groups fighting it is the Tsleil-Waututh. This is a First Nation Indigenous community that sits right across from the pipeline terminal on Burrard Inlet. I met there with one of the elected councillors, Charlene Alec.
So help us understand your connection to this place. You kind of grew up right here.
We are sitting in a summer village of Tsleil-Waututh called Wet'awichin, meaning facing the wind. Our name, Tsleil-Waututh, means people of the inlet. We have a creation story where our grandmother, our very first grandmother, was born out of these waters, and our first grandfather living here, being raised by the Wolf Clan. And we also had a saying, when the tide goes out, the table is set.
Well, you really hear that deep connection to the sea there.
And that idea of the tide setting the table is one you hear from Coast Salish Indigenous peoples all around the sea. So I talked with a few of them for the series. We also visited with others who make a living from the tides, and one of the most memorable is a woman in Souk outside Victoria. Diane Bernard makes skincare products out of seaweed, and as such has become kind of an informal ambassador. People simply call her the seaweed lady.
We have lots of misconceptions about seaweed. Poor seaweeds, they have such a PR problem. So part of my job is to really improve that and to have people understand this coastline, and that actually here in the Salish Sea, we have one of the most diverse seaweed ecosystems in the world. And we have upwards of 600 different species here. The entire British Columbia coastline from the US border right up through to the Alaskan border is extraordinary. And it has huge tonnage of seaweed. It is a sustainable resource. It can be kept. It's subject to real issues and problems. But if we work smartly with our coastline, then we can have this resource for a long, long time.
So how are we going to do that?
Well, it's an open question and, you know, one that comes up again and again. We have to double down, that's for sure. We've got to work smartly and urgently to take care of this ecosystem. But one of the lingering questions for me also, as I reflected on all the people we heard from around the sea with these concerns, is What will this look like in the end? Can we expect to restore the ecosystem to something it once was, or can it change and still be healthy and beautiful? So I asked Joe Gatos, chief scientist of the Sea Doc Society, about this. He's the final interview in the series and the co-author of a gorgeous coffee table book called Salish Sea, Jewel of the Pacific.
The ecosystem is like our bodies. It's always changing. And you can be a healthy 6-year-old and you can be a healthy 66-year-old. And the ecosystem will change. We've already changed this ecosystem by things that we've done with salmon harvest, things that are happening with ocean acidification. But that doesn't mean it can't change and still be a great place. And that's really where we come into this designing a healthy ecosystem. What are the things that we can do to take what we have and keep it healthy or make it better in spite of things that are changing?
Just some of the voices heard in our 15-part series, Return to the Salish Sea, produced and reported by 88.5 Environment reporter Bellamy Pielthorpe. Bell, nice work.
Thank you so much. Absolutely my pleasure.
And the series lives on the web with a lot of great extras, beautiful photos, and all the stories at our special project website, salishseareturn.org.